Matthew and Sarah, welcome. We're so excited to have you here and to be part of what God is doing in the city. And the privilege that I have not only of being here and being part of this, but as you guys are newbies, so am I. You've been on your job longer than I've been on mine. I'm almost a month, and you've been here for a couple of those months, right? But we pray God's blessing on you. Just as I get started, I just want to connect something for you. Ever since you and I were talking a little bit today and talking about the mission kind of a focus that is in front of you, it made me think of the great China missionary, Hudson Taylor, the Inland China Mission. And what he did back in the 19th century is he called people from all over the world to come and do mission in China. There wasn't even a lot of preparation. It just kind of, if you were willing, you were going, right? And yet when they went, they discovered some pretty incredible things, and that was that God had led the way and showed up even ahead of them. Now, it's said that Hudson Taylor had a sign in his office, and it's that I want to just encourage you and share that with you today, because it had two things on it. First one, it says Ebenezer, and the next thing it said on the second line was Jehovah Jireh. Now, when you think about Ebenezer, that's not Ebenezer Scrooge from the Christmas story, so that's not it. But it actually goes back to 1 Samuel chapter 7, and it's the story of, if you may remember, when Israel lost, well, they lost the Ark of the Covenant to the Philistines. And the Philistines, after a while, decided, you know what? We're not keeping this thing. Because every time they touched it, somebody died. And so they stuck it on a cart, and they put it behind a couple of cows and kind of pushed it back towards Israel. And when it came and when it got there, Samuel, high priest, he takes this stone, this Ebenezer, and he stands it up. Now, Apostle Peter later on talks about us being living stones, right? But this was a place, without a doubt, where they would chronicle the story of what it was that God had done in his faithfulness. As we think about this word Ebenezer, it makes me think of, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. You know, we've sung that song. And then it gets to that second verse, and I remember for years and years as a kid, we're singing along, Here I raise my Ebenezer. And I'm going, what in the world is an Ebenezer? And an Ebenezer is this, and it literally means this. To this point, God has been faithful. Matter of fact, I love the King James on it, and it's, Hitherto, God is faithful. When was the last time you dropped a hitherto on anybody? You know, it's not exactly one of those things that we do, and yet that was the statement. So what did it mean? It said, to this point, God has been faithful. To this moment, God has been faithful. And then Hudson Taylor had that second phrase underneath, Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide. And what that says is not about what has been to this point. It's about what is coming before and in front of you and in the future. And so I just offer those two words, or those three words, I guess, to the two of you as something to hold tight as you stand in this moment here with First Lutheran and all the people of God here in this place and in the circuit. Hitherto, to this moment, God has been faithful. And he will be the Jehovah Jireh that leads you and provides for you as you go forward. So that's just, there's nothing extra, no extra cost for that. But I just had that on my heart, and it just wouldn't go away. And it was one of those, Gibson, you got to say it. And so there it was. You know, when ST shared with me what the text was out of John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, why don't you kind of focus on verse 12? That is an awesome text. And man, it is an awesome text. Can I just reread it for you? Just a simple little word there. It says, and again Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, one of the things that's an important piece for me, and I hope it is for you, and it is, I'm always encouraging people, read Scripture slowly. We read it too fast. As a matter of fact, if we're not careful, we're just going to go, I am the light of the world. And you miss the whole phrase that precedes it. It said, again, Jesus spoke to them saying. Again, what? What's the again? The again is looking backward a little bit to this moment and to this experience where Jesus has been in dialogue with them in this particular text of Scripture. Now, for me, certainly the message of I am the light of the world, I mean, how do you beat that? That's what God is. He brings that light of the contrast of the darkness. John in chapter 1 tells us that this light, nothing can hold it back. And this light's the Word of God. It's Jesus himself. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But it has more oomph even, more understanding, if you know what's going on and why he said it when he said it. And why the again is there. Because you see, the again points back to a previous statement where he starts talking about not light, but water. That he is the water of life. And matter of fact, water is actually pointing back to a previous statement that he'd had in chapter 6 when he said, I am the bread of life. And in chapter 7 and in chapter 8, it's really the story of the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the high feasts of the Jewish year. It's an amazing circumstance in which Jesus is gathering with the people of Israel there around the temple area. And it says there in chapter 7, I'm going to back up, we're going to talk about water for a second first before we start talking about light. It says that on the last, the great day of the feast. Again, if you read it fast, you're going to miss it. On the last, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and shouted something. Now, what's the last, the great day of the feast? On the last, the great day of the feast, the high priest and all the people, along with the musicians, they formed a procession that gathered at the pool of Siloam. And they had two pitchers. One that they scooped up water out of the pool of Siloam, that place of healing. And the other had wine in it. And they went marching through the city, shouting, celebrating this water. What's the water about? Well, it's the Feast of Tabernacles' purpose. It's to tell the story of what God did and how he provided for the people in the wilderness. The tabernacles, that they built booths, that they lived in tents, that God presided in the thing that was called the tabernacle, that place of worship that traveled with them as God tabernacled with his people. And the Feast of the Tabernacles, they would build booths and they'd live in them and they would remind themselves of all the things that God had done in those 40 years in the wilderness, and they would remember that God had miraculously provided bread, which Jesus had just talked about in John 6 at the feeding of the 5,000. Man, Jesus is using every circumstance that he can in order to get that message out, isn't he? And then in the Feast of the Tabernacles, it's also saying that they were talking and celebrating and remembering how they struck the rock and the water came forth as God provided it miraculously. It's a pretty amazing picture. And that there was, in that time period, the light that led them at night and the cloud by day. And when God showed up inside of the tabernacle, he did it with light and with fire and the Shekinah glory that God brought into their midst. This is what they're remembering in this moment. And as the people are walking through the city, and as they're waving this pitcher of water and this pitcher of wine, it says in those verses, in verse 37 of John 7, Jesus stood up and cried out. He didn't want anybody to miss this. They're walking through the city with water. They're celebrating water and how God had provided water. And Jesus cried out and said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Brilliant. He's told them about the bread of life. He's told them now about being the water that satisfies. And in that event of the festival of the tabernacles, they also lit lamps. Let me tell you about these lamps. There were four of them. They were 75 feet tall. And they stood in the courtyard outside of the temple. And at the top of each one of those 75-foot-tall lamps. There were four branches, and each branch had a huge basin on top of it. And when it was time to light those lights, those candelabras, young men climbed, get this, how would you like this job? Climbed the ladder 75 feet in the air, carrying with them a 10-gallon pot jar of oil, which they then dumped into that basin and lit it on fire. One of the old rabbis would say about the celebration of the water and the celebration of the light, he said this, he says, anyone who has not seen this ceremony has never seen rejoicing in his life. It was a big deal. And it was in that moment, after Jesus has just previously said, I'm the water that'll satisfy you forever. Now it says, and again, Jesus cries and says to them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He took advantage of each one of those moments to make a statement. He took advantage of each one of those moments to burn it into the people that what he was offering was something that was what was in front of them was not going to provide what they're looking for. If they were thirsty and they were looking for something spiritually that was going to satisfy them, it was not going to be by the things that they pursued or they found in front of them. It was only going to be from the water of life. If they were looking for something that would dispel the darkness, it wasn't going to be what they could create for themselves. It was going to be a light that he alone could bring, because the scriptures tell us that the darkness runs when the light of Jesus Christ is proclaimed and shown. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Matthew, your opportunity, my opportunity, all of us in ministry, is to hold a light up for everybody to see. His name's Jesus, and boy, is he in contrast to the rest of our world. Most of our world doesn't want to see him, hear him, have him shine in them in any way to reveal the realities of their sin and their rebellion that's going on in their lives. And that's what's going on in our world. It's going on in Orange County where I live and where our office is, Pacific Southwest District. It's going on right here in Los Angeles. We can go around the room and call everybody else out right about where we live, because it's going around every place, even in southern Minnesota. It's still there. And you know the amazing thing about the Feast of Tabernacles, and this is where my mission heart gets all excited, is that this was a feast where they believed and they prayed that this message would result in the Messiah coming into their midst, and he did, and they didn't recognize him. And they also called and invited the Gentiles, the non-believers, to show up and to be part of this tabernacle celebration. The only one of the feasts where they would do that intentionally, because they wanted the world to hear. And Jesus stands up in front of the entire world gathered, at least representatives in Jerusalem, and he says, I'm the water. I'll satisfy you. I'm the light. I'll dispel darkness and shine the way to eternity and to forgiveness of sins, so that the whole world could hear. Now, just pause with me for a second and catch the elements that are present in the Feast of the Tabernacle. And I'm going to actually go back to John chapter 6, because even though it occurs right before Jesus is in the temple area, it's certainly ramping up for it. Because remember what he says, I am the bread of life. Right after he fed the 5,000. So what do you have? You have, say it with me, bread, okay? Then, secondly, he has water. Now, remember, there were two pitchers. One was full of water. The other was full. See how well you were listening, church. One was full of water. The other was full of. So we have bread and wine and water. And what was the third thing that the feast pointed us to? It is the light, the Word of God. Boy, that sounds so familiar to me. What's our job, brother? to bring the Word of God so that the people might know and see as God reveals who He is and what His work of salvation is for us and for the world, so that everyone would see it, both those that believe and those that don't yet, those Gentiles like in this festival. And then He also comes and He works through other means as well, doesn't He? He comes and He works through means of water, our baptisms, where in our baptisms He claims us and He makes us His own forever. And then He comes and He works and He speaks to us through other elements like bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus. All of those things show up in the Feast of the Tabernacles. All of those things people were believing, someday maybe the Messiah will show up here. And He did. And the same things that were celebrated in the Feast of the Tabernacles are celebrated and remembered in this church and in the churches of the body of Christ all over the world every single time we gather for worship. And that is the Word of God, the sacraments of the Lord's Supper and baptism. Let it shine, right? Let it shine. And church, the thing to remember is this is not Pastor Matt's job. You go, thank God we got a pastor. I'm done serving now. Sarah's not going to like that. So, I mean, if you're not going to deal with him, you're going to deal with Sarah if that's your attitude. It's not about what Pastor Matt's going to do. It's about what all of you will do together and all of us in ministry, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod here in the city, what we're going to do together for the sake of bringing the message of the gospel to people who have been searching so long for things that don't satisfy them. And they've been buying into things that don't satisfy them. And He comes and He says, I've got water and bread and wine and light. What else do you need? Now, back in the old days when the people were traveling in the wilderness and they set up the tabernacle and the Shekinah glory of God came and filled the temple. And remember, every time Moses went in there and he came out, what did he have to do? Put on. He had to put a veil over his face because the dude was glowing, okay? Later on, when the temple was built in Jerusalem, the Shekinah and the fire and the smoke came to show God had arrived and He made Himself present. In both of those cases, in the tabernacle and the temple, whenever people needed to come, they came to. Make sure you catch me with this, okay? They came to. They came to the tabernacle. They came to the temple. And it was there that they experienced the God who was the God who provided miracle bread, manna, where God who provided the water, the wine, and the light. But in the New Testament, God did it different. Because on Pentecost Sunday, what God did was He filled His temples, every single one of us. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, what does he say? Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And He filled us. And He still fills us every single day. He fills us with water in our baptisms. He fills us with bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. And He fills us with a light and a message to be able to tell the world. And what He did on that Pentecost Sunday, when the flames came and landed on people's heads, it was not the Shekinah glory filling a building, was it? It was the Shekinah glory that was filling the hearts of the followers of Christ. And then He said, you're deployed. You're deployed. Brother Matt, equip, encourage, support, and deploy the body of Christ to carry the message, because they're the temples that God has deployed in your workplaces and in your neighborhoods and in your schools, wherever it is that He's going to be, where you and I, we go and we take the message of bread and wine and water and light to the world. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? Church, you're like a city set on a hill, and the light cannot be snuffed out. First Lutheran, the Church of Los Angeles, you are a city set on a hill. You are a light that is burning 75 feet with four basins, 16 incredible lights shining for all the world to see. All the churches of this city, all the people of God deployed for the sake of of what Jesus came to do, to save, to forgive sins, to adopt people into his eternal family through baptism, and then to fill us up with water, bread, wine, and light, and send us out the door. That's my prayer for you. It's my prayer for our district. Whether it's in Arizona or Nevada or Los Angeles or the North, wherever it is, San Diego, wherever it is, this is what God did. It's what he still does. And it's how he wants to use a pastor to stand in front of the troops and say, let's go. Light it up. Let her rip. And watch what God will do with a group of people who say, we're filled up by all the things that Jesus has got for us, that we might be deployed for the world. Pray with me. God and Father, we thank you for the way that you surprise us. I mean, when we read the scriptures, we just kind of blow past stuff, and we miss stuff, and we forget stuff, and we miss the again. Lord, as a matter of fact, we miss that between the story of the water of life that satisfies and the again of the light, there's another story. Most of our Bibles say it's not in the earliest transcripts, manuscripts, but it's the story of the woman caught in adultery. Why is it there? What's its purpose? Why does it sit between water and light? Because every single sinner, us included, even the self-righteous ones who would not cast the first stone, we are in need of the water and the light that you've come to give us. Burn that in us, Lord. And so then motivate us so that we are full of the grace that you have received, that we are then empowered by that Spirit that filled us in the Pentecost of our baptisms to be deployed into the world. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in this church, for the rebirth and the renewal that bread and wine and water and light and word is going to bring into this neighborhood, this community. It was not an accident, Lord, that you planted this church here. You have called this church to be in ministry and in mission to its neighborhood, its community, and its city. God, embolden them for that task and this young family as they lead a willing, excited, empowered, filled up, and satisfied people of God. And we pray all of this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and together we say,